his holy gospel according to Matthew. John was in prison, and he heard about the works that Christ performed. So he sent a message through his disciples to ask him, "Are you he who is to come, or should we look for another?" In reply, Jesus said to them, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind recover their sight. Cripples walk. Lepers are cured. The deaf hear. And the dead are raised to life. The poor have the good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who finds no stumbling block in me." So the messengers set off to return to John. Then Jesus turned and began to speak to the crowds about John the Baptist. "What did you go out into the wasteland to see? A reed swaying in the wind? Tell me, what prompted you to go to the desert? What were you looking for? Someone luxuriously dressed? Remember, those who dress luxuriously are to be found in royal palaces. Why then did you go out to the desert? To see a prophet?" "A prophet indeed. And something more. It is about this John the Baptist that Scripture says, 'I send my messenger ahead of you to prepare your way before you.' I promise you, history has not known anyone born of woman greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least born into the kingdom of God is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. What did you go out to the desert to see? Someone luxuriously dressed? What makes you go out into the desert, into the wasteland? What makes you go out into the dark when there's no light? Sometimes, in order to see the light, we have to be in the dark. I've never experienced this, and it's on my bucket list, but I'm told that if you're out in places in Colorado and further west where there are no cities around for miles and miles, you can look up at the sky and see millions of stars. I've seen pictures. You can't do that in the Northeast. Too many cities around, too much light, even though we don't realize it. You get a little taste of it on Cape Cod, because we are 30, 40 miles out to the ocean. But even here, it's not like there. There are not less stars to be seen from here. It's just that in order sometimes to really see the light, you have to be in the dark. You have to be willing to embrace the dark to find out what's to be learned there. If you really want to understand what it means to be thirsty, you have to be in the desert. And you have to experience the thirst if you're going to appreciate the water to come. Advent brings us to these places. Advent is filled with images of the desert receiving water. But first, you have to be in the desert. It's filled with images of the light coming. But to appreciate the light, you have to first learn to appreciate the dark. Sometimes that means embracing dark parts of ourselves that we're not too comfortable with. But if we are truly to appreciate the God who comes to heal the lame and make the blind see and the deaf hear, then we have to first come in touch with our own need, with the lame parts of ourselves, with the blind parts of ourselves, with the deaf parts of ourselves. If we're going to appreciate the healing touch that Jesus offers, we have to know we need to be healed. And that's part of the gift of Advent. Because if you're going to go out into the dark, If you're going out into the desert, or if you're going inside to the places where we are lame and deaf and blind, there has to be some reason for hope. Because otherwise, why would anyone go to those places? We would go to palaces to find someone richly dressed to distract us. We're pretty good at that, by the way, in our day and age and in our country and culture. We distract ourselves real well. And meanwhile, the voice of God whispers way down deep that Advent call. Forget the distractions. Forget the bright lights for a minute. Forget all the luxurious costumes for a minute. And come down to where there isn't anything at all. Come down to the quiet and listen. Because then in the quiet, we can appreciate the voice that truly matters. The voice that offers healing. The voice that lifts us up and gives us reason to hope. There's another message in these readings tonight, and it's for me, a difficult one. And yet, it kept coming to share with you, so I'm going to share it with you, best I can. Do you notice that John the Baptist sent his messengers to find out who this guy really is? Because this isn't fitting right. John had a different image of a Messiah. Okay, the Messiah was going to come, restore order and power to Israel, and get rid of all the problems. And yet, everything in him knew that this is the one, but it's not fitting my image. So go ask him, are you the one? And what does Jesus say? He doesn't say, yeah, go ahead, go back and tell him that we're all set. I'm the one, he can relax. That's not what he says. He says, go back and tell John what you see and what you hear. The deaf are healed. The blind are given sight, the lame walk, and the poor have the good news preached to them. Now I want you to put that on hold for a minute and come back to another image for yourself. What if God said to you tomorrow morning, appeared to you and said, you know, it's been millennia. I'm taking a day off. You're in charge. So you get to be God for a day. What would you do? Would you heal the next blind person you saw? Or would you just wave your hands and eliminate blindness? Would you speak to the next poor person you saw? Or say, hey, wait a minute, I'm going to fix all these crazy systems, no more poverty. What would you do if you were gone for a day? Would you attend to the needs right around you? Or would you just magically snap your fingers and fix it all? I don't know about you, but no matter what I'd like to say, I'd probably want to be able to snap my fingers and fix this crazy mess. It's been too long. And yet, that's not God. That's not God in Jesus, who is God. Jesus comes and does not start a campaign to help all the blind people in Israel. He cures the blind people who are in his path at the moment. He does not end poverty in all of Rome. He goes out to where the poor are and speaks the good news. And, oh yeah, one more step, and this is the key step. He tells his followers to go do the same thing. And that's the key. The key is, as Dorothy Day once said, to pray like crazy, like it all depends on God, and then to work like it all depends on you. It's that balance. If we have hope in ourselves to fix this all, to make it all go away, to get it all straight, and to do all that well before we die so that we can get a vacation, it isn't going to happen. But if we attend to what is placed right in front of us, truly attend to it, with hope in God to do all the rest, then step by step, it is happening. Step by step, the kingdom is blossoming into being in you and in me and in everyone around the world, Christian or not, who attends to brothers and sisters, knowing that they are all children of God. That's the kingdom of God blossoming into being here and now, And our faith and our hope and trust in Jesus knows that it will come to be. This is not an idle promise. This is God's promise. It has been, it is, and it will come to be. So, Advent is the call to come into the dark, to come into the desert, to come into those places in ourselves that we think aren't worth much. There to discover that God's already there, and that the very things we think are worth the least are the things that God will use to transform the world. Be open. Learn to appreciate the dark that you can see the light. Learn to appreciate the parched wasteland so that you can appreciate that God gives water. Learn to appreciate you, because you are God's beloved, in whom the kingdom blossoms into being. If anyone has anything they'd like to share on these readings, please feel free.
I never thought of it this way before until you said, out of the darkness we find the light. But every second Wednesday, a group of us, often different ones from here, go, and at 5:45 we open the door to the soup kitchen where we work to prepare food. I've never thought of it as healing. But I think maybe that's what that is. Food for those who don't have food. A little earlier, children come in and they run up to the counter and want certain things to eat. And I just see that as, you know, we're serving a meal, but we're doing more than that, I think. And I'm glad you pointed that out. Thank you.
Somehow I think I always want the easy, not that I purposely want the easy way out, but the easy way out is what you said, in the darkness and all the parts of you that need help or will blossom, because it's easier to think that if you snap your fingers or that God can cure your family that are sick or this and that. So it's kind of it's a very interesting new way to look at things, that out of what appears to be negative, which is the dark, there really is salvation, not only for yourself, but people you'll encounter. And so a lot of the day-to-days, which is sometimes pretty challenging in this day and age, there is the strength. I mean, this is the plan. Whoever thought the plan would be that dark, and not dark literally, but so negative in this day and age, but that's where we can blossom and reach people and help to, in our little way, change the world.
I was thinking of some of the painful moments I've walked through in life, and if God had just snapped his fingers, I wouldn't have made the changes that I've made in my life. So out of the dark came light and came change.
Amen.